Welcome back, everybody. Today is Thursday of the fourth week of Advent.
Christmas is really close, friends. Thank you continuing for journeying with us. Today we're going to talk about Christian detachment and poverty.
An effective detachment from everything we have and are is necessary if we are to follow Jesus, if we are to open our hearts to our Lord who is passing by and calls out to us. On the other hand, attachment to earthly things closes our doors to Christ and closes the doors to love and to any possibility of understanding what is most essential in our lives. So therefore, whichever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple.
So are you feeling the pressure to buy that perfect gift, the pressure of consumerism in the midst of Christmas? Father Fernandez is reminding us of the necessity of detachment. And this reminded me of a story I heard years ago about these native African hunters who want to try and catch a monkey. They take a coconut and they slice it in half and they hollow it out and then they make a hole just big enough for a monkey's hand to go through on one side of that coconut shell, and they get an orange. And they place it on one side of that coconut shell, and then they close it up and they fasten it together. And then they tie the coconut by a rope up into the tree, and it dangles there. And then they wait for the monkey to come because it smells the sweetness of the orange. So it climbs down the line and goes to the coconut, and it puts its hand in and grabs onto that orange. But it doesn't let go. It can't get it through the hole because the hole's too small, but it won't let go because it wants the orange so bad. So in the struggle of trying to get the orange out, not willing to let go of it, the hunter comes and throws the net over and catches the monkey, simply because the monkey won't let go of the orange. And I thought, here's a great example of what happens to us when we do not detach. What are the oranges in your life? What are those things that you're hanging on to? Because Jesus is reminding us we have to renounce everything of this world in order to go to the kingdom of God, experience that. And here's the tricky thing within Christmas. There's so much consumerism, and it causes us to be attached, forgetting the most essential thing, which is Jesus Christ and our need for salvation. Our need is not the perfect gift. It's not found in Walmart. It's not found on Amazon Prime. That perfect gift comes to us in Jesus Christ and most excellently in the Holy Eucharist this Christmas. So what's going to prevent us from embracing these graces? Well, attachment to the world. So we should not be like a monkey. We got to let go.
Mm-hmm. But isn't there such a tension? I feel like as a mother, you know, you have all these little children and they have high hopes for Christmas morning. And it's like, you don't want to disappoint. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that would be the worst thing, you know, if they walk away from Christmas being like, oh, disappointed. But at the same time, it's important to teach the children what is the main thing about Christmas.
And so we're going to have stockings, we're going to have gifts, and we're going to have a wonderful time. But I think it's important for our kids to understand, why are we doing these things? Mm-hmm. It is a reflection of we want to participate in the giving that God has given us. Mm-hmm. He's given us himself. So it's a sign of this. We give to each other. Mm-hmm. First, because God has given to us. They got to know this.
Right.
You know, why the stocking stuffers? Right. Why the Christmas gifts underneath the tree? Because Jesus Christ first gave to us the most perfect gift, which is himself, mm-hmm. for our need of salvation.
And I think that's a good lesson because, you know, even when it comes to love, why can we love or how can we love? It's because Christ first loved us.
Yes.
So why can we be generous? Because God was first generous with us.
Yes.
The best examples of poverty are those mothers and fathers of large and poor families who spend their lives for their children and who, through their effort and their constancy, often without complaining of their needs, bring up their family, creating a cheerful home in which everyone learns to love, to serve, and to work. Often without complaining of their needs. I feel like I could work on that. There's always things to work on, isn't there? Yes.
But that's really relevant to our family. This quote is giving us the ideal to strive for. But that describes our life. We have a larger family compared to, I would say, most. We have 7 children. They're young. Our oldest is 12. And it definitely does feel like most of what we do in our day is because of them. Mm-hmm. But now I have to switch my thinking. It can't be just because of them. It has to be for them. Because of them is like kind of a resentful, I have to do my duty. No, it's for them. We live our life for them. This is the call of holiness in matrimony with children. You live your life for them. And this is, one sense, poverty. I think poverty, Christian poverty, doesn't have to do with material wealth or your net income or how much you make on your salary. Because you can be tremendously wealthy, yet still live Christian poverty. And you can live in poverty and lack Christian poverty. Christian poverty is a disposition of the heart where we are not satisfied with the things of this world. Where our full focus is the love of Jesus Christ and to rest in Him. So it has nothing to do with how much we have in this world, although those things can be a distraction. It is a detachment, but more than a detachment, a seeking of Jesus Christ first and foremost, which then I think leads us into a service, entering into the needs of others. And I'm just thinking about this out loud, friends. So I'm just thinking of Jesus's life, who is the perfect example of Christian poverty. He comes into our need. He subjects himself to the human condition in order to meet the greatest need of our life, which is salvation. So we participate in this as parents. We subject ourselves to the needs of our children. So we make decisions about how we spend our money, how we spend our time, which families we relate to, our friends, circles, our everything about our life right now is about meeting the needs of our children. That's what it should be. And selfishness within us gets us outside of that. But this is the way of Jesus. Enters into the condition in order to meet our need of salvation. This is the role of parents entering into the condition of their children in order to meet their need. Mm. Their need of salvation, their need of education, their need, their physical needs as well. But most of all, their need of salvation. This is why we do what we do as parents. So Christian poverty. Not to be satisfied with the things of the world, to seek first Jesus, and then it motivates us and moves us into meeting the needs of those around us.
Mm-hmm. Father Fernandez sort of speaks a little bit about this as well, because I think often we can feel there can be like maybe a guilt or a shame if we have, you know, when if we compare to others and maybe we have more. You know, I spent about 4 months in Calcutta, and I remember seeing extreme poverty on the streets there. People who, you know, perpetually lived on the streets. That was their home. And just having a lot of difficulties. And I just thought, I often thought back to my life in Canada and how privileged I was. And, you know, I was thinking even of the pillows that I got to sleep on at nighttime, or the clean blankets, or just carpet on the floor. And sometimes I could feel guilty about that. But Father Fernandez kind of talks to that. If material goods do come our way, it will still be possible to live like mothers and fathers of large and poor families, and to do good by means of them, because it is this sort of poverty made up of detachment, trust in God, sobriety, and a readiness to share that Jesus declared blessed. So I think it's just really ultimately having just a true detachment to anything that has been given to us, to remember that it has all been a gift, all is gift, and then to be willing and ready to share with others.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Man can direct his life towards God, whom he can reach by using material things as means, or he can have as his end money with its many manifestations, such as the desire for luxury, unrestrained comfort, ambition, and greed. The two ends are irreconcilable. No one can serve two masters. I love what you were saying at the beginning of this video about how, you know, especially at this time, our eyes get kind of fixed on certain things. You know, oh, the deals. I was talking to my son about this. He's like, Mom, it's 40% off. We need to go get it now. They're going to take the sale off. And I'm like, Jacob, they do this on purpose to put the pressure on to make you want to go spend money. And I think it's really important to be vigilant. And actually, Father Fernandez mentions that, how easy it is if we are not vigilant for the spirit of riches to enter our hearts. So we need to be prepared and ready to know that this is going to happen. So what am I going to do? Well, one, maybe you can have a budget. Two, don't go shopping with maybe a credit card if you have quite a big limit. Or, you know, just kind of have a plan and try not to deviate from the plan.
And then to his other point, that the material things of this world are not necessarily evil, right?
Right.
That the material of this world can be a way for us to find God.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. There are so many beautiful saints who came from very wealthy families. Not that that's necessarily what we should strive for, but I feel like if God gives an abundance of goods to people, it's because he wants us to use it to build his kingdom.
Mm-hmm. But even how God comes to us, he does come to us through matter. Mm-hmm. So he physically took on a human body, a human nature, fully, fully man. And then we think about how he continues to come to us through matter in the Eucharist and in the bread and wine, which is transformed into his body and blood, soul and divinity. So matter is not bad. Things are not bad. They become bad when they become our master and they rule our life.
So, and how do we know something has become our master? Take it away and see how you respond.
Thanks for that. Maybe we'll end on that note. Hey, thank you so much for continuing to journey with us. We really appreciate your presence. And tomorrow is Christmas Eve, so we look forward to chatting with you then. Comment below, share with us what stood out to you and why. You say that rosary along with us as well, linked at the end of this video. God bless you guys. Bye.